Our guest Nico Case's music brings out rapturous descriptions from fans and much delight from those who delve into her work. Her new album is called Fox Confessor Brings the Flood, and we'll find out where that name comes from and more from this artist who made her name in the Pacific Northwest, although she was born in Virginia. She also spends time as vocalist with the Vancouver-based band The New Pornographers. Her new album comes almost 4 years since her last studio effort. There was a delightful live album in between. And I ask her if her rumored perfectionist tendencies has added to the time between albums.
Well, Fox Confessor, we started recording about 2.5 years before its completion, and I just did it in little pieces. So it kind of satisfied my perfectionist streak, but then also I made Tigers Have Spoken during that time and also Twin Cinema with The New Pornographers, and we toured for both of those records as well. So it kind of freed me up a little bit. I hadn't ever recorded like that before, and what I realized from that recording was I wasn't so immersed in the project that I felt like I couldn't see the edges of it. The nice thing about doing little pieces was I could leave and go work on another project, and you know, when you let your mind go from a certain project, your subconscious tends to work on its own, like it has some free time, and so your ideas seem better and you have more perspective when you come back, and you know, you're able to be influenced by other things too. I mean, obviously working with The New Pornographers influences me a lot, and as a result on Fox Confessor there's a lot more vocal arranging because I really enjoy doing that with them. So it was good. I just went all over the place and just got it done. I gave myself a couple deadlines and broke those, and then after a while I just realized I'll just finish it and then we'll see about the deadlines.
Yeah, the vocal harmonies sound great, and it's I note that Kelly Hogan's here today, so we're probably going to
hear is indeed.
Some
we are
of
lucky.
Those. Yeah, that's great. Well, what do you want to do to begin with?
Well, I think we're going to start with Star Witness, which was one of the first songs on the record, and kind of a little tale about living in America.
My true love drowned in a dirty old pan of oil that did run from the block of a Falcon sedan. The paper said 75. There were no survivors, none found alive. Trees wrecked the sidewalk, and the sidewalk skins my knees. There's glass in my thermos and blood on my jeans. Nickels and dimes of the 4th of July. My neck on the chain, and I would do anything.
at Star Witness. Nico Case is playing live today for us on the World Cafe. And Nico, who all's with you today? We mentioned Kelly.
Well, we got Kelly Hogan doing the vocals. We got Tom V. Ray on the bass. Barry Marochnik is playing drums. John Rawhouse is playing the pedal steel, the banjo, and the guitar. And then Paul Rigby is playing guitar as well.
When one starts delving into your life, your career, it always seems to me that you've been at it forever, and one expects you to be older than you are, and you're not. And I guess it's sort of because you started so young. You were ended up being on your own at the age of 15, and I'm curious as to how you ended up supporting yourself at that time, how you lived.
I used to steal lots of eggs. That was a big source of nutrition. odd jobs here and there, but mostly, I don't know, the kindness of other people and just, I don't know, being 15, it's really not easy to get a job, and I was trying really hard to finish high school, but I couldn't do it because I was very undernourished at the time, and learning and not eating just don't really go together, so I kind of had to hustle a little more than go to school, unfortunately, which was kind of heartbreaking. I really wanted to finish high school at that time, which I ended up finishing eventually. But, you know, I had to be in the workforce for a few years after that to kind of ramp up to it after all.
Huh. And I know you played drums originally, but was playing in bands kind of a way to survive, of making some money?
No, I never made any money, but I think it was kind of a way to survive morale-wise. You know, I met a lot of other people who were kind of in the same situation as me, and we all really stuck up for each other. You know, I grew up in Tacoma, Washington, which is a pretty poor town, and, you know, I met a bunch of other like-minded people who, our town was very poor and kind of industrial, and we decided to just embrace that and feel good about it rather than feel beaten by the whole thing. So we very much loved our town and we loved playing music, and I know for a fact that's how it made it all easier. It was because of those people and the music scene there and in Seattle and Olympia at the time. So it was a good thing. I don't remember much about eating or sleeping or anything at that time, but I'm sure I did.
Clearly the evidence is here.
Yes.
Now, I know you played in punk bands then, and that's sort of a background to what you do, but there's people often label you a country singer, but really there's a whole wide range of roots that is involved in what you do. And I heard there was one specific recording that that was kind of an epiphany for you. What was that?
It was a record called Swing Down Sweet Chariot by Bessie Griffin and her Gospel Pearls. My best friend and my neighbor downstairs, Miss Laura Woods, found the record in a thrift store, and she loaned it to me for about a month, and it was the greatest record ever. And, you know, there were many other things that were the impetus for wanting to be in a band and wanting to be a singer, but that one particularly kind of stuck out, just because those ladies were so much more passionate about anything than I'd ever heard. And, you know, punk rock was really at an all-time low in the mid to late 80s. It was very macho, and there was just lots of political rhetoric, and I was, there weren't that many ladies, and I wasn't really finding any sort of voice, you know, that I could relate to, that I felt represented me in music. And even though I wasn't a religious person, and being really close-minded and thinking I was really punk rock, I thought all religion was really bad too, you know, like religion sucks. And but then finding this gospel record and just finding some sort of compassion for this kind of music, I don't know, it opened up so many doors for me, that record. Just the way those ladies sang, the proof was in the pudding. You know, they were not kidding, and religion wasn't about some weird strict rules for them. Religion was about love and about power and about making the best of what you have, and that really moved me. And, you know, even though I'm still not a religious person now, I have such endless respect for that. And those ladies were more passionate about, you know, their love of life and their love of God than anybody in rock and roll or punk rock singing about sex or love or cars or whatever. You know, they had them beat by a thousand. So, I don't know, it just made a real impression on me, and I gained a whole lot of respect. And that's, you know, when I learned the life lesson, which I'm sure everybody kind of learns around that time. Some people don't, I suppose. But, you know, there are so many sides to everything. Like, everything cannot be black and white. There's all kinds of beauty everywhere, and I just, I am so grateful to those ladies for opening my eyes to that.
Hmm. Had you been doing any writing at that point?
No, I just was playing drums in bands at the time and singing along with records in my apartment and going to shows as often as humanly possible.
Hmm.
and working really crappy jobs.
When did the writing start?
I played in a band called Mao when I was going to college in Vancouver with my friends Cece and Toby. And we just started all writing songs together for our band. And then I just started writing more. And then I started writing songs that didn't really seem like they would work in that band. But the Canadian thing is kind of... The Canadian music scene is very small, even though it's one of the largest countries in the world. And so everybody, you know, there's a big focus on the scene in Canada right now because of all the bands that are huge up there. But basically everybody was in all kinds of different bands, so it didn't even seem remotely weird to be in that band and then also start my own band as well. And then eventually I had like four bands.
And then, yeah, be in two or three other bands at the same time.
Exactly. It just wasn't weird at all, so, you know. Just went ahead and did it.
And for our listeners, at least one of the two or three other bands we're talking about, of course, is the New Pornographers, which is a pretty incestuous band in and of itself, with people from all the other bands helping out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Nico Case is our guest today, and let's move on. You want to do another tune? What's next?
I think next we're going to do Maybe Sparrow.
Maybe Sparrow, we should wait. The hops will lie till morning. Never pass beyond the gate if you don't hear my warning. Notes are hung so effortless with the rise and fall of Sparrow's breast. It's a drive.
Maybe Sparrow, a live version of that, which you will find on Fox Confessor, brings The Flood, the latest Nico Case album, and we're really happy to be able to hear some live versions of that. That's one of my personal favorites on there. Great song. I know.
Thank you.
Where did it come from? Tell us about it.
I'm just pretty obsessed with animals in general and birds pretty specifically.
They're all over the covers. Yeah,
they are. They're everywhere. I've always been very close to animals and. I don't know. I think it was just a little rhyme that just wouldn't leave me alone, and I ended up making it into a little fairy tale story.
I want to talk about reverb.
And Let's do it.
Because it has a little something to do with the way the live album sounded and a bit of way how you sound today and even makes a way onto the album. You love singing into that void, it seems.
I do.
What about it?
I think a lot of the old recordings that I really enjoy have a lot of that. And it's incredibly unpopular right now. You would not believe the opposition that you're up against when you want to put a bunch of reverb on there. There's a couple bands out there who love it. My Morning Jacket have been really instrumental in promoting reverb in this day and age. So maybe there's me and them right now. I don't know. But I don't know. It's just... it kind of, on the live record, most of the reverb is natural, mm-hmm. and that's one of the really great things. And I guess one of the influences I can cite for that is live Tina Turner records, live Ike and Tina records, where Tina Turner would be singing, and then she would go into some very passionate chorus, and you could hear the reverb change because she actually changed the way the air moved in the room because she was that powerful. And that's what reverb is. Reverb is, you know, the way sound is echoing inside of a natural structure, and it's an indication of the way air is moving, etc. It's very physical, and so taking a breath before you sing something, you know, like the ramp up to that it's very gone right now in radio music, and so I guess I'm not that worried about being played on the radio, or I wouldn't have reverb or leave breaths in. But I think that's such a powerful thing. Like, I always think about She's Got You, that song that Patsy Cline did, where she goes, I should hate you the whole night through. The breath she takes before the phrase, I should hate you, is so much more powerful than what she actually says right afterward. It just breaks your heart. And that's the part that makes you cry. Like, you should be able to hear the physical space, I think. And, you know, reverb is that. To me.
So there's kind of emotion in the air and in the physical space. I mean, that's certainly what you're saying about the Patsy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that, you know, that's a difference between going to see a live show and hearing a record. That's the reason why you can make the same amount of sound with five people live as you can with, you know, 17 on a recording. Mm. There, because it's more two-dimensional on a recording, so you have to kind of build it up. But, well, for me personally, I mean, everybody's different with the way they record. But, you know, I like to hear that air. I like to hear it moving. And me, I put a little bit extra on just because I like it so much. It's like people who put extra sugar in their coffee, I guess. So some people are kind of thrown by it. And they're like, are you trying to cover something up? But if I were trying to cover something up, I'd just use auto-tune, which I am very proud to say I do not.
Well, okay, we'll crank up the reverb a little bit for what's coming up next. I have a list of things you might want to do. Is Teenage Feeling possible?
Teenage Feeling is, it can happen right now.
Excellent.
And only laugh at these regrets. Common as a winter cold, their telephone poles, they follow each other, one after another, after another. As my brave friend who says, I don't care if forever never comes, cause I'm holding out for that teenage feeling. I'm holding out for that teenage feeling. Are the loves we had, are we ever new? Thank you.
That Teenage Feeling, a live version from Fox Confessor, Brings the Flood, from Nico Case, who is our guest today. Animals certainly involved in all this. Fox Confessor Brings the Flood is from a fairy tale?
The Fox Confessor himself is from a fairy tale. There isn't one specifically called Fox Confessor Brings the Flood, but I just borrowed him from some Ukrainian and Russian folklore just because I liked him as a character very much. And Ukrainian Russian folklore had a lot to do with a lot of the things on the recording. It's funny because when you make a record, you're thinking about the songs and you're thinking about getting the bed tracks down and whatnot, but the themes don't always become apparent till about halfway through. And for I definitely worked that way. And so about halfway through the recording, I realized how obsessed I was with things like loss of faith or Ukrainian and Russian folklore or just literature in general. And, you know, living in America, I was thinking about how we don't really have fairy tales anymore. We have movies and things like that. That's kind of our folklore. And, you know, American movies these days are pretty much standard, and usually you get the answer at the end of the movie. It's not very open-ended. And what I really loved about Ukrainian Russian folklore is that they're not overly moral. The interpretation is pretty open, and they're also very dark, and they're very funny. And much like Native American folklore, they rely, or not even rely, but they respect animals on the same level as people. They don't separate human beings from nature. And I think that I'm very obsessed with why we don't have things like folklore, and or why we do separate ourselves from nature every single day. Like, there's this big void in between, even though we're natural beings. And so I think that obsessing about that, I don't really have a language for it, but maybe that's why I have to write songs about it, which hopefully doesn't sound too overly hippie, but it's true.
Nico Case is our guest on the cafe today, and it's funny, we're talking about the folklore and the various themes, and I wanted to talk about probably the most kind of confessional song on it, which is Hold On, Hold On, which you've described it that way. This is more you?
Yeah, that it's kind of just a tongue-in-cheek song. It's kind of silly, just about probably being, you know, 35 and not being married or having any kids and living with a dog. You know, your peers around you are all married with their kids and stuff, and you wonder if you're just floating in a sea of not belonging or something. But, you know, really, there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't know. I still feel like I'm 19 years old, and all the possibilities are wide open, I suppose. Well, so I'm just going with that because it feels good.
And you can do a version of that?
Yes, we can do that right now.
The most tender place in my heart is for strangers. I know it's unkind, but my own blood is much too dangerous. Hanging round the ceiling half the time. Hanging round the ceiling half the time. Hold on, hold on.
Hold On, Hold On, finishing up our session today with Nico Case, another great one from this album. Nico, thanks a lot for singing for us and talking. It's been fun.
No problem. Thank you for having us back. I really appreciate it.
Nico Case, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. Thanks again to Nico Case. Fox Confessor Brings the Flood is the new Nico Case album, and it is at our World Cafe CD store, worldcafe.npr.org, where you also might want to check out our Live at the World Cafe CDs as well.